And welcome here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. On this radio show, we deliver you spoken word entertainment. If you've ever heard of that, well, if you haven't heard of it, you're probably smarter than most because there really isn't any except for this show. Anyway, welcome to our radio show, such as it is, such as wherever it is, wherever you're listening to us. On Facebook, we do get messages from folks. We get some messages, of course, from our subscribers at our BSPs, as we call them, at philhendryshow.com. I don't think I saw any comments from people last night who were in any kind of distress. I think I saw one.
Well, that one lady in Connecticut.
We do have a BSP in Connecticut. We got some folks out there. A lot of it was on our Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS. And there was a chap in Ohio.
Yeah, this guy talking about buck wild.
Yeah, he said that the winds were buck wild.
Who's he?
It's not a...
Well, I'm talking about a he, the wind.
No, I know he was talking about the wind, but buck wild rings a bell.
Buck wild rings a bell.
Yes. I know that I know him. Oh, God. Now I know.
Yeah, I better not say.
Yeah, let's not start right away.
What was he going to say?
I don't know. Who was Buck Wild?
Well, Phil, it's none of your business.
Well, ma'am, Ms. Brent, can I say something?
Yes.
If you brought up a man named Buck Wild on the air...
I know where you're going with this, Robert. Then you must have wanted to say something about him.
I know where you're going with this, Robert. You must have wanted to say something. Just leave it at that. I knew a man named Buck Wild at a time when I first came to Hollywood, and I was eager to start working. And let's just leave it there.
Well.
No, you don't know. You think you know and you don't.
Well, three guesses.
Yeah, that's three guesses. Stand a reason, Buck Wild, probably, you know.
Yeah, we better not say it.
Don't say it, because I don't want you to get upset, Margaret, and we're not trying to upset you. But when you say the guy's name was Buck Wild and you were eager to start working.
Oh, I see. So that must mean I'm ready to pull my pants off. Is that it?
Well, I mean...
Is that it? Is that what you're saying to me? I mean, it might be true, but is that what you are assuming about me? Is that what I give off? Do I give that off?
No, but you give off, well...
Don't...
You talk about giving off, talk about a smell.
No, I'm not talking about a smell.
Margaret, just leave, okay? If you don't want me to ask you about it, I won't ask you about it, okay? You knew a guy named Buck Wild. You were eager to start to work. Does that mean that I pulled my pants off? Well, maybe I did, but is that what I'm giving off?
God, you have such hatred in you, you know?
Margaret, I don't have hatred. I'm sorry, you know.
I
don't have any hatred. I just would rather we talk straight here, okay? And...
Well, if I tell you straight, then you've got that and that, and the two of those will react in ways that I don't like and that make me violent.
All right, you two guys keep your mouths shut. Buck, what was it?
They were what were... Well, I need to talk to my husband first.
All right, fair enough. We'll talk. Can we... You want to call him now?
No, what are you... Oh, God. You're real eager to get the filth out, aren't you?
All right, well, call him at the break, then. It doesn't matter. So anyway, Margaret knew a guy named Buck Wild.
So anyway, Margaret knew a man... You can't wait to get that out there, can you?
If you knew a guy named Buck Wild, I was talking about a guy on the fan page that was telling me the winds were Buck Wild. And you said, who's he?
Yes, because it rang a bell.
All right. Let the record show I at no time attempted to take this in that direction.
Yeah, Mr. Henry was talking about a wind.
I certainly don't need Gloid 1...
Gloid 1, that is very insensitive.
I don't need it interpreting for you.
Call me Gloid 1.
All right, bud, just keep out of it. Part of the problem is you butt in, man. If I'm talking to her, I'm talking to her. Sorry, folks. Anyway, welcome to the show. God.
Every show, man, every show. You got always start a fight with every show.
I didn't do it.
I mean, just easy. Welcome to the show. America is cleaning up, picking up, sweeping up, mopping up, getting out the old suck vac, whatever it is, the wet vac. Because it was one hell of a rock and roll night last night across the eastern part of this country. Talked, as I said, with our friends. We talked with my friend Barry in Washington, but we also had communication with some friends in New York, and certainly saw a lot of tweets from people living in New York. And they're interesting to read, but there was a universal praise for FEMA on Twitter last night.
Yeah, I saw that.
Universal praise for, and I'm not exactly, did they bust FEMA out this early? I don't know. But the praise that I also saw that I thought was good was they were just simply praising the city. And who knows, the story may change, you know, over the next couple of days. We may get people saying, you know, hey, all this praise for FEMA and all, you know, it wasn't exactly like that. But I did see that. The other thing that I thought was needs to be pointed out is the real terror of this storm was not in New York City. There was a lot of water and there was a lot of inconvenience. And there's a lot of companies located in New York City that do business across the country. A lot of telecommunications, a lot of new media. Our the company we work with, Squarespace, is located in Soho. They were bailing water this morning at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I saw that email, man. They said they're down there with buckets.
Yeah, they're bailing, man.
They were. They were downstairs, you know, bailing.
What do you mean? I'm still in the bathroom. What do you mean bailing?
Margaret, I'm not talking to you while you're sitting in the can, okay?
Fine.
Bailing, what I mean by bailing is bailing out. I mean, they were... but the data was safe, everything was safe, and there were a number of companies like that, and they posted a message, which we reposted on our website, and we appreciate that, Squarespace. Good people there. Also, our video equipment guys, Marlin, they're in New Jersey, and they posted a message saying to all of our customers, we're good. They're up and running. Everything's good there. They're in Jersey. And because of that pinwheel motion that these storms have, you can well imagine... that the winds on the outer edge of that pinwheel get going much, much faster than, and they're much more potent in terms of their ability to wreak havoc than the interior winds. And so those are the ones that were pushing that water into New York Harbor, pushing that water into the river there, the two rivers, and causing that flooding. But really, that wasn't where the major terror of this storm in terms of damage. There were fatalities in, I don't know, something like 7 or 8 states. But it was really closer to the eye of the storm, which was in Maryland and going up through southern Pennsylvania. And we looked at the weather map last night. We could see it was very, very clear, you know, that it was. And so talking to friends in D.C., they said, man, all night long we could hear stuff crashing and we heard things smashing. And we heard, now I got a, here's a picture that I got sent by... Dan Northcraft, who's our technical director on the show, his brother sent some pictures that we're going to put up on the website during the next break. This is a picture, Dan. Is this the one of the large light stand that just came crashing down? Oh, man. And that's Brooklyn, huh? And then there's another picture here of... This is... Oh, there's the light stand. Okay. Well, we'll put them up on the website here in a moment. You can take a look at those. So, yeah, but to the extent that people are safe and okay, I'm really, really, really grateful. And I hate to rub it. Well, I'm not going to rub it in.
Well, can I say something?
Yes.
I thought you did rub it in. What's with that picture of the beautiful sunset on the Saturday night?
Well, I didn't.
Yeah, I did kind of rub it in on air. Better call Mr. Hall.
Yeah.
Wait, whoa. Hold on. What do you mean you better call Mr. Hall?
I think it's one that we got to call on. He told me to call anytime I get the creeps. So.
What does that mean, anytime you get the creeps?
Well, you know, if something happens, Phil, that he's uncomfortable with, and he gets what are called the creeps, or the willies, but I think creeps.
Yeah, the creeps are probably more...
I think the creeps in this case would be more descriptive.
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Dickman, and what are you, Dr. Gray? And you're discussing the creeps, huh? And...
Well, Phil, if we wanted to really discuss the creeps, we'd talk about you and your friends.
Yeah!
Quit hitting the board. All right, go ahead, call Mr. Hall. You think I'd give a sweet you-know-what? I don't give a damn whether you call him up or not, man. Is that him on the phone?
Yeah, hold on. Mr. Hall? Huh? Yeah, okay. He's ready for you.
Oh, is he really?
Anyway, you're talking about that. And then Bud just called me, and I'm glad he did. I saw the picture.
What picture?
You were just talking about it.
There's a picture of the sunset.
On your homepage, on your website. We got people getting blown out of their homes. We got people getting rained on. We got people getting snowed on, hail, sleet, ice. And where, you know, nothing keeps the mailman away, or however that thing goes, right? Isn't that what that is?
What is?
The mail... What's the mailman, Margaret?
What's the mailman?
What's the thing they say?
What's that got to do with what we're talking about?
I was trying to think of the different weather. That's the only one that... The only thing I know that mentions all that weather is the mailman.
Is the mailman creed? Is that it?
There you go. Bingo. Give the man a cigar. The mailman creed. Neither the sleet nor the sweat. I don't know what it is.
That, I know what it is, Mr. Hall.
What?
The blood and the sweat and the tears.
What?
What are you talking, Winston Churchill? Man, we're talking about I don't know what it is. Who cares? Neither the sleet nor the rain nor the hail nor the this or that.
That's it, yeah. All that stuff happened last night. You think the mailman was kept away? No. But what does Henry do? He puts a picture of the sun setting over the blue Pacific Ocean as if to say, take a look at this. Ha, ha, ha. Then you rub it on your... Well, I shouldn't say.
No, yeah, you shouldn't say.
Well, I can well imagine. So I know you didn't do it, but that's what people are thinking when they see a picture like that.
All right, we got to take a break here. We'll be right back, okay?
Oh, yeah, now that I'm getting a good point in.
Hold on. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the madness.
Well, don't include me in that, all right? I'm...
Fine, Margaret. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The rain or the sleet or the sweat or the... What is the one to sweat off...
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445 is our number. And good news, we're going to have a call screening computer in here, I believe, on Friday.
Yay!
Though we will keep you updated on that.
Well, what do you care? You don't like taking phone calls.
Yes, I do. I like taking phone calls occasionally. You know, I'm having to screen the calls myself. It's a difficult...
Well, don't get so specific, Phil. You need to just back off.
I'm backing off. All right, I won't say anything about it, okay? Everything's good. Everything's fine. All right. So if I direct your attention to the homepage of our website, philhenryshow.com, and you will see pictures that were sent to Dan Northcraft, our engineer, from his brother John in Brooklyn. And I have articulated by way of numbering them just what it is you're looking at. In the very top photo is, quote, blown out glass. And, boy, look at that. Now you get a clear idea of what that is. This is all glass that got busted out from what looks like this top window here above this graffiti.
What's that graffiti say? Bet you those are like the Brooklyn gang? What does it say, Robert?
What do you think I am, man? A gang expert?
Well, I don't speak gang.
What makes you think he speaks gang?
I don't know.
Man, you know, you...
What?
Never mind.
Bud... So, yeah, that's graffiti, whatever. And you can see all of this. Look at this, panes of glass just blasted right out of that window there that someone then put some sort of a tarp in to keep the wind from just blowing in on whoever is working in there. Which reminds me, one night I was kept wide awake by this whipping sound of just, you know. And I look outside, and apparently somebody put a tarp over a piece of a roof that had caved in on a house. And they hadn't gone upstairs to fix it, and it was just driving me nuts. All right, here is a light pole that fell down in a park in Brooklyn. You can see a very heavy and very long light pole with that cluster of lights at the end that one knows from, like, ballparks, you know?
Yeah, like at a baseball stadium.
Man, look at that.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that'll do some damage, man. That falls on you because you don't know what's going on. What does it sound like when a light pole snaps and is about to fall on you? What does it sound like, you know what?
What do you mean, what does it sound like?
I bet you it doesn't sound like anything you've ever heard before. You'll probably hear something like, you know.
I think I'd know.
Maybe it sounds like a monkey chimping or something.
Yeah, because a lot of times, something that doesn't sound like it.
What do you mean a monkey chimping?
Like, what do you mean, a monkey talking?
No, like, what do they do when they talk? They chimp.
No, they don't chimp. They talk. They make sounds. They squeak. Whatever the hell. What do you mean a monkey? Who knows, man? All right, so that's the light pole. Then the next one sounds like a monkey chimping. Here is a picture of what looks like, and according to Dan's brother, John, he said, that's the fence behind the chicken slaughterhouse.
Oh, God, that's very inhumane.
Oh, give it a rest, will
you? But how do you think? Don't you have no chicken dinner?
Don't I have no chicken dinner? You know what? I have, but thinking about eating a chicken dinner after you just said what you said, I'm going vegan. Thank you very much. Hey, now there, I'm applauding.
You tell me that I made you a vegan.
Yes. Looking at you talk about chicken, I'm vegan.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm very serious.
Okay, good luck.
Well, why is that such a big deal?
You're going to miss... Well, I better not say.
You're going to miss the meat.
Yeah! Give me five.
Get out of here, will you? All right, so there you have it. Those are the pictures from Dan's brother John there in Brooklyn. And it's, you know, it's been a heavy, heavy night, man. But we're thankful for everybody who is safe. We were so sad for the people that did not make it, man. I mean, it was ugly. As far as the government's response to this, as I said, in New York City, just the anecdotal information that I was able to glean from Twitter and places like that, people were very positive about it. But that was in New York, you know, where again, that was not where the real scary stuff was happening. Now, here, according to CNN, after a day after it launched a punishing strike on the east coast of the United States, Superstorm Sandy remained a threat all day Tuesday. The storm made landfall along the coast of southern New Jersey on Monday night, but its mammoth size affected a much wider area and continued to do so as it shuffled northward toward Canada, leaving at least 33 people dead. Tuesday evening, 6.9 million customers were without power in 15 states. President Barack Obama signed a disaster declaration for New York and New Jersey, also had signed emergency declarations for other states and the nation's capital. Nearly 11,000 people spent Monday night in scores of Red Cross-operated shelters in the hard-hit Mid-Atlantic region. And I saw people last night talking about, thank you, Red Cross. And these are, you know, not people that one would think might avail themselves of the Red Cross, which I suppose you would think in terms of... I don't know, maybe people that can't afford an accommodation. But then I got to thinking about it. Where the hell are you going to go, man? You know, if you're if the storm is hitting your ass, excuse my French, but if you're getting nailed by the storm, are you going to go to a hotel? What difference does it make, you know? What you need is food and coffee and maybe water and some maybe some blankets, anything that you just don't have. And I suppose you could get some of that from, but the hotels are closed up probably. And the hotels are without supplies. So, yeah, I saw a lot of people.
What, like movie stars or something?
I don't know. Yeah, sure. Right. Yeah. There were movie stars tweeting, thank you, Red Cross, for giving me a cup of hot coffee. I don't know, man. It was just I think Andy Levy from Red Eye said that he spent the night in a tent that we... I'm kidding around.
Well, it would serve him right.
No, I'm joking. Anyway. So we had that. And here is how Sandy affected the United States and Canada. In Connecticut, there were two people who lost their lives, according to state police spokesman Lieutenant J. Paul Vance. The victims, one of them a firefighter in Easton, were killed by falling trees. Some 500,000 customers were without power. In Delaware, power went out for 17,000 customers. The governor there scaled back driving restrictions on Tuesday morning, but they were in effect on Monday night. Officials in District of Columbia said 4,000 people were without power. Metro transportation bus and rail service was restored on a modified schedule. The system expected to return to normal for Wednesday. District of Columbia. In Maine, about 33,000 homes and businesses were without electricity, according to Central Maine Power. In Maryland, two people were killed. An emergency management official said a falling tree hit a house, killing a man. A car accident blamed on the storm accounted for the other death. Raw sewage was leaking from a plant in Howard County. Emergency management spokespeople said about 2 million gallons of sewage per hour were pouring out of the Little Patuxent Water Reclamation Plant as a result of a power outage. That's in Maryland. Utilities said 273,000 customers were without power. See, that's where the eye of the storm really came through in the state of Maryland. Massachusetts state employees returned to work on Tuesday. New Hampshire, their power suppliers reported 107,000 customers without. So,
what about California?
Are you trying to be a smartass?
No, it said state by state.
What do you mean, what about California? It didn't hit California.
Oh.
No, well, you gotta be a real ass, man, to ask a question like that.
Are you an idiot or something? What do you mean California? All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know why you keep him employed. But...
Famous Phil Hendry Show, and online at philhendryshow.com. All right, I've been told that we are having a special edition of Iron Swine. Is that it?
Yeah, it's a special edition.
All right, here it is, a special edition of Iron. We usually don't have Iron Swine until the last hour of the show, but hit it.
Not time for Iron Swine. But, today, Iron Swine, we got a call up from Phil Hendry's house.
Hello, this is Iron Swine.
Yeah, you got to get over here, man, because guess what? Mr. Hendry, he lost all that weight. He's at 211 pounds, and he started at 289 pounds back in March.
You're kidding me. That's insane. I better get over there.
Right away. Make sure you get over here right away.
Who are you, the butler?
Shut up, man.
But what are you supposed to... I don't even know what you are.
I'm the producer, man, of a show. I'm Robert.
Oh, you're playing yourself.
Yeah, just shut up.
And then Iron Swine goes over to the Phil Hendry house. Hello, I'm Iron Swine. What happened?
You gotta come in here.
Oh, yeah, now I remember. We gotta take out the reinforced toilet, because he don't need that no more on account of he...
Get out of here. Turn that off. What is that about, huh?
Oh, Phil, they're having fun.
Come on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, come on, guys. Let's get the reinforced toilet out of here.
Yeah, and also we don't need the handrails.
Yeah. Iron Swine! Whee!
Brought to you by Slim Fast. All right, you can get your fat jokes out now, baby, because you can't do them anymore.
Well, Iron Swine has been brought to you by Slim Fast and by Zero Calorie Lipton Green Tea.
Yeah, oh, another thing you got to take out, Iron Swine, is that chair that goes up and down the stairs that he sits on. Now he can actually go up the...
Yeah, okay, I better take that out, too.
Okay, very funny. Thank you, Iron Swine.
What?
That was funny. I mean, you know, what it basically was a series of fat jokes.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're... We're celebrating, you know...
They're congratulating you, Phil.
Well, I understand. Thank you very much. Yes, I did, but I haven't shared it with the audience.
Well, tell them.
I have reached 211 pounds, you guys. And that's not my goal. I still have 1 pound to go. That was the funny thing about it. When I got on the scale yesterday, I go, this is a riot. I said, I'm at 211.
You going to have Halloween candy?
No. Not if I'm at 211. I mean, I got to do this thing right. And I think that the pound will be gone by the time Halloween, tomorrow, you know. And, of course, I'm going to have some Halloween candy. And
But if you go back up, though?
Go back up to what?
Well, Bud, he's not going to gain it all the way back to 289.
But if you eat enough candy, if you pig out.
Yeah, if you pig out, you could, you know.
No, you're not going to get 211 from 289. Are you nuts or something? That's 78 pounds that I lost. 78 pounds from March 19th till today. And you think me eating a bunch of Snickers bars is going to put the weight back on, huh?
The way you eat them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's very funny. But,
What are you going to eat?
Yeah, what's your favorite candy?
You guys are making me hungry, man. I don't even know if I'm going to... I got to get that pound off. I'm telling you, if the pound isn't off, if the pound is still sitting there, I'm not having Halloween candy.
Oh, Phil, what? You're getting obsessed, and you know what's going to happen. You're going to become anorexic.
Yeah, remember that lady? She said he got anorexic and he's lost the weight?
I'm not going to become anorexic, believe me when I tell you. Although I will say this, and just to be serious for a moment. Yes, I hit 211 yesterday. Thank you, Bud, for the tribute on Iron Swine, but... It is true that, and I was just talking to Dan about this during the break, I said, now I am conscious of what I eat. And I don't, the last thing that's going to happen to Phil Hendry is I am never, ever again, as long as I live on this planet, going back to that weight. I'm not going back to 220. If anything, I'm going to go down. I mean, and, but here's what I mean by that. You know, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I was 195 pounds. I was 195 pounds, and I was in good shape. And I really can, you know, that's probably the best weight for me. 210 is probably still too much.
Well, that's not what the doctor said to you. The 210 was low.
Dr. Emery thought that 220, and I talked him into 210, and he said, yeah, okay, 210.
What about when he prescribed the Viagra? Don't that hurt your heart?
You shut up about that, okay?
Oh.
Yeah. Wait, be quiet and get Viagra.
Well, I mean, that bad for the blood pressure, though.
Just, you guys, just, anyway. So, yeah,
I didn't do anything wrong.
Yes, you did. You're opening it. So yeah, it was really great, and thank you very much for noticing that, Bud Dickman. So anyway, yeah, I have to maintain the weight. And the thing you want to do is you want to say, I got to eat smart. So if I do have the candy and all of that stuff and the things that we enjoy, especially we're coming up on that time of the season, okay? We have Halloween, we have Thanksgiving. Good God, oh, Thanksgiving is like, you know, it's a blowout for food. And Christmas is just, Christmas starts on December 1st, something. It starts, and you're just eating for 4 weeks, you know. You're having this and that and something else. New Year's Eve, I mean, that's like the booze equivalent of Thanksgiving, only it's booze instead of food. And then finally, we have January. But hold on, because in January, guess what's going on? It's the football playoffs. It's the NFL playoffs. Every single Sunday, you're sitting there shoveling it down, you know. And you're anybody? I don't drink light beer. I don't know anybody that does. If you want to, that's fine. I'm not making any judgments, but I wouldn't go light. I wouldn't go near light beer, man, with your mouth, Margaret.
What is that supposed to mean?
No, it's just a matter. It's a figure of speech.
Wouldn't go near light beer with my mouth.
You drink it all the time, don't you?
No, I do not. I drink champagne. I drink champagne. I don't drink light beer. What gave you the idea I drink light beer?
Why did I see all that light beer? Oh, who's drinking the light beer?
That's your boss, David Hall.
Oh, okay. So anyway, I don't drink that swill. I drink a good, I gotta drink beer that's beer. But really, my favorite drink is tequila. And as I've often said to you, tequila is much more economic when it comes to calories. If you drink one shot of tequila, it's 90 calories, 95 calories, Don Julio. That's how we're talking about. Any one of the Don Julio tequilas, 1 ounce, okay, one shot. If you drink two, you're up around 180 calories. To contrast that with beer, now that's two shots of good quality tequila, and that's going to make the day just kind of, woo, put a nice little spin on the day. By a comparison, one beer, a Heineken, a good beer, is 150 calories, and you're getting a beer. I don't know about you, but I'd rather drink more than one beer, so especially when it's football watching time. So, you know, you're making, these are the choices that you make, and I'm going to want to make some choices, and they are not going to be involving eating like a, just like a hog. Those days are over with.
Now, when are you getting your hair cut and your beard? You look like a homeless man, you know?
I know, I don't look good. The beard's too long, the hair's too long. I think it must have been like I can only concentrate on one thing.
But you don't think about losing weight? You can't get your hair cut?
No, I think that's something wrong with me, you know.
What, man? All you can do is go to a barber, even when you're on a diet.
I know, but I just didn't give a damn. I was thinking, when I lose the weight, then I'll get my hair cut.
That's nuts. Yeah, I had your hair cut a long, long way before now.
Well, I'll get it cut before. I'm going to Washington, D.C. on Friday because a friend of mine is having major surgery, and I will make sure that I have it cut before then.
And what about the beard?
The beard will get trimmed back, too. There's a lot of people that like this beard, and I look horrific without a beard now. I used to be fairly handsome, but now, for some reason, if I shave the beard off, there's like I've got three chins or something. It's just...
Not anymore.
Well, no, you're right. Not anymore. Okay, so glad you're safe, guys. Welcome back to the program. We got Frank Gray coming up later in the show. We also have Brad Rifkin to talk business with us tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. There are all kinds of deals. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but there's all kinds of deals, not just with houses and not just with the things that you would think the prices come down, but like vacations. and high-end hotels and things like that. And we're going to talk with Brad about that when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show a little bit later on. But they're sending out via email, and I don't know if you saw these, but they're sending out via email all kinds of offers to stay in some pretty nice places for extended stays for like one half of what it would have cost you. So all of a sudden, you know, the world is opening up a little bit because of this bad economy. The other thing that's happening is that home sales are picking back up. And I just talked to a friend of mine who very nonchalantly threw off this information. She said, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to sell the house and going to get a. I said, oh, really? You're just going to go right ahead and sell the house? Oh, yeah. I said, where are you living? And she lives in San Diego. Are you just going to sell a house? How are you going to, how does that work, you know?
Well, you put out a sign.
I'm not talking about putting a sign up. I mean, your house isn't getting the value that it's getting. If you sell your house now, you have to be prepared to take it in the shorts.
Well, I mean, maybe some people like that.
Like what? Losing money?
Taking it in the shorts.
He's talking about losing money, you idiot. I don't know who would.
Well, if unless they really need to get off, you know, need to sell the house and they need to make whatever money they can make, but it's not. Nonetheless, houses are selling, so maybe there's something going on there. They're selling because the interest rates are good. So we'll talk with Brad about that when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-7445. And, of course, our website is philhenryshow.com. We have a brand-new podcast out today, episode 62, featuring Eric Hester, who's a television producer. On the podcast, he talks about a new reality show called Surprise. So that's on episode 62 of the Phil Henry Podcast, available today through iTunes and through the podcast banner at philhenryshow.com. So check it out. We'll be right back with Brad Rifkin on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show. What?
I'm saying a wind might have picked it up and carried it off.
What did? You're talking about a baby that was born. Some baby was born in a hospital, and they had to evacuate the hospital.
Well, that's what I'm assuming.
Why do you assume the wind picked the baby up and carried it off?
Why would it be in the news?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not a big deal.
Yes, it's a big deal, because the baby was born, and they evacuated the child. People wanted to know if the child was safe.
Bud... What an assumption to make. Oh, the baby must be famous because it got picked up and carried away by the wind. How about if it was famous because it was safe?
Get a lot of people was safe.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. Brad Rifkin joins us in this segment here. We might hold Brad over. We're going to talk with him a little bit about economy and about what's going on in terms of just, you know, business. Yeah, and I know that I mentioned that... I mentioned earlier that the home sales are doing better. I mentioned that, you know, it's different aspects of business. Brad, you were talking with us about that, but also some restaurant that a friend of yours has opened in Las Vegas, which is where you're located, right?
That is correct, Phil. We're located here in the northern part of the Strip where offices are, and we have an advertising agency here.
Okay, and this restaurant called... Chow's, right?
Yeah, and it's based upon, I think, it is the first restaurant of the post 2008 financial meltdown. And because it is a restaurant that is based upon economics, it's based upon American culinary taste, it's based upon our desire to waste less, to consume more economically, to not waste, you know, especially when it comes to food. And I think that food, especially when you're talking about an economic problem like now, you know, people, there's some, not like it was in way back in historical times where you had people starving to death in America. Today, thank God, we've got resources for people who may not have the income enough, you know. But I got to thinking about when I was working at a food bank 5 years ago, and it was, you know...
Well, you know, you have an advertising agency, and you were working at a food bank?
Yeah,
Well, that's not... Hey, Brad, this is Bud Dickman.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the matter? Was your ad agency not...
My ad agency was fine. We had some tough times, so I took a job. Can I finish?
Go ahead. That was...
All right, so I had to take a job at a food... I was volunteering at the food bank, but I also got a salary as one of the administrators. But nonetheless, while I was at the food bank... Now, I'm sorry I brought it up.
Well, that does not... If you had a successful ad business, why are you working at a food bank?
Right, okay. How many times do you want me to answer this question, Phil?
All right, just move on. Don't worry about it, guys. Go ahead, Brad.
Anyway, I'm at a food bank, okay, and I'm working there, and I see homeless and people that don't have a house to live in, and they have nowhere to go, and they're coming to the food bank, and they're taking food that is left over. Now, this food is good food. It's food that the homeless people get, but you and I don't see it because, well, we did see it, but we didn't buy it for whatever reason. So I'm thinking to myself, if you start a restaurant based upon what's the one thing that everybody loves? Everybody loves... In the refrigerator. What's the one thing but everybody loves in the refrigerator?
Ice cream.
Not ice cream. No, something in the refrigerator. Not in the freezer, in the refrigerator.
You'll say frozen cherries?
Not in the freezer.
Said not in the freezer.
What is the one thing people like in the regular refrigerator part? Everybody absolutely loves it.
Sherbert.
Are you an idiot or something? He said not in the freezer.
Not in the freezer, man. What are you doing?
Sherbert's not in a freezer.
Yes, it is in the freezer.
Sherbert is water-based. It's like ice cream with water.
Oh.
All right.
Can you turn your TV down?
Yeah, hold on. Hey, turn the TV down. Thank you. Okay, it's leftovers. Leftovers. That's what people love, leftovers. Oh, look at this. I got some leftover spaghetti. I got leftover pizza. I got leftover, you know.
Well, I'm not really crazy about leftovers, but I know Frank does, and Jason J. Delmonico.
What is that?
That's the name of my son.
You named him after a steak?
I named him after the Delmonico restaurant in New York.
Okay. So, Phil, it's the... I got hungry as soon as I heard his son's name. Is that...
Well, don't make fun of my son's name, please.
I'm not making fun of his name, but I got hungry when I heard Delmonico.
Okay, so in other words, leftovers. What about it?
Well, what about it is that you can have a restaurant based on leftovers. You could serve leftovers. Now, yes, you have food that you would serve, and then you have the leftovers. So you have a regular menu, and then you have leftovers. So if someone comes into the restaurant and they say, well, you know, I don't really have that much money or I don't want to spend a lot of money, I think I'll go to the leftover side of the menu, and you say, well, I'll have the spaghetti. Or actually, there's an option that I have there with whatever the house special is. And that could be something as simple as the waiter saying, okay, what would you like? And you say, well, I'll have the house special, and the waiter looks around and sees what's been left. You know, like, well, there's some spaghetti a guy left here. Do you want that? Yeah. All right, we'll take it in the back, and we'll...
Take it in the back? You mean take it where, in the kitchen?
Well, yeah, Phil. No, out in the... We're going to take it into a closet where they hang shirts. No, yeah, into a kitchen.
Well, that sounds absolutely vile.
Well, thank you very much, ma'am, for putting a torpedo right into my idea before it even gets out of the port. You know,
well, you're talking about looking at... The waiter looks around?
Yeah, what don't you get?
If I heard what you said correctly, you said the waiter... looks around and says, well, tonight's house special. Oh, look, there's some spaghetti left on a plate. There, do you want that?
Yeah, that's the leftover. What are people, I don't understand. Haven't you ever eaten off of your husband's plate?
Yes, my husband. He's my husband.
All right, so what? So he's your husband. Why can't you eat off, if you're eating off his plate, you're eating off his plate.
He's my husband. I feel comfortable doing that. I wouldn't feel comfortable eating off of something. I just wouldn't feel comfortable.
Well, I got to go with Margaret on this one, you know?
Yeah.
What do you mean you got to go with Margaret on this? This is an idea. Well, let me ask you, because I'm a little unclear. Your husband, what makes him so special?
He's my husband. That's what makes him special.
But what's that got to do with food? You know?
Well, he's my husband. That's what makes him special. If he's eating a spaghetti...
You just said this. You went, he's my husband. I didn't understand.
He's my husband. That's what makes him special. If he's eating spaghetti, And he doesn't finish it, and he says, Margaret, would you like to finish this? I'll say, yes, darling, I'll finish the spaghetti. If it's a stranger who says, I don't want to finish this, do you want to finish it?
Yeah, what's the difference?
I don't know, it's just different.
It'd be different for me, too. I wouldn't want to eat off of some stranger's plate.
But you'd eat off of somebody you knew.
I'd eat off of someone's plate that I knew.
Would you eat off of that person?
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, that I understand. If you got a girlfriend and the two of you are, you know, do you really love each, you know, you're very involved with this girlfriend, and you say to her, I'd like to eat some dessert off of you, I can understand that. You know, even though it's very likely you're going to want to eat that dessert from a part of, you know, I want to get into it. You know?
Oh, yeah, now I know what you're referring to.
Yeah, now you're talking about eating a dessert right out of...
Hey, hold on, will you? Let's take a break, okay?
Well, I was getting to the good part.
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. As Brad Rifkin talks about a new restaurant idea where you eat leftovers. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
That I wouldn't... And I wouldn't let Frank eat anything
on... Better get Frank on here.
Why are you stuttering?
That's stuttering.
You think we got to get Frank on?
That's what it sounded like to me, Phil.
Okay, I stuttered. So what? Talk much?
Phil Henry.